I guess I should address the actors that will be watching this. Because, I mean, Millie, I talk about this. I've seen a lot of your talks. I always tell you you're great at talking. And it's the actors that get in their head that think, oh my gosh, I did a bad audition. Now I'm blackballed. Or I didn't do this. Or why am I not doing this? And I think that there's such a need for people to be on casting directors' radars and to be seen and recognized. And is there anything, any suggestions you have for people to do, or for you as well, Rachel? Like, what can people do?
I think actors need to understand sort of how their business works. I think it's really
Oh,
important
yeah.
to know, and I say that like it comes from like knowing that it's expected of you to sort of walk into the room and be as off book as possible, or to be as familiar with that scene as possible, to make choices and to make committed choices, and to not be sort of tentative. You know, this is one thing is. Most actors, what's the one thing that most actors will say when they go into an audition? First, they usually hate it, and second, they're nervous. I get it. Nobody wants to walk into a room full of strangers and be vulnerable. I absolutely can appreciate what's happening there. But then you don't want to walk in, be vulnerable and nervous. But I always think it's interesting because nerves is a tricky thing, right? Nerves is because you care. Like you're nervous because you want this, like you want to do this. You don't want to fail. You don't want to fail in front of a room full of strangers. So I can appreciate what's happening there. But the other thing too is part of the business or part of how an actor gets a job is that they walk into a room full of strangers and become vulnerable and basically, vomit. And so it's one of those things where, well, how can you navigate that, and how do you become good at that? And I always, and it's easy for me to say because I'm not doing it. You fake it till you make it. But you know what? I just went into a job interview. I tried to fake it till I made it, and I did not do well. I didn't get the job. So I can appreciate also what's happening there. But also, I go, it's not like you don't know what an audition, and you also, it's not like you don't know that auditions are a part of the process. So you need to audition. And that's nice that what's one of the bright lights of COVID and lockdown was self-tapes. To me, I think self-tapes are like cheating. I don't know how many times it took you. You could have gone through 30 takes. You could have edited to make one amazing audition, which is great. But you know what? Rachel and I, the few months that Rachel and I have worked together, we've watched thousands of self-tapes. Thousands. And what's also interesting about that is if you're cheating, some people don't cheat well. Some people are just not good. Or some people just don't care to be good. Or some people don't, sometimes a self-tape is rushed or whatever. But again, it's one of those things where you don't have an excuse anymore to not do a good self-tape. You don't. I understand time. Robin, you had mentioned to me this past weekend you had like multiple self-tapes to turn over. And I get it. So sometimes when you're in multiple mode, you're just hammering it out, right? It just becomes a factor. I'm like, okay, next, next, next. And it's
I did different costumes.
And I think that's amazing. Like, that's the other thing too, right? Different costumes, different, but it's also different characters. It's different, you had to be prepared. You had to memorize all of those multiple scenes. Because again, there is no, like, in terms of a self-tape, there's no excuse for you not to be off book. Or to not appear that you're off book. You can have massive cue cards, or what is it? Those trans the
Teleprompter?
yeah the teleprompters. I mean, there's so many wonderful things about technology now that you can fake it till you make it. But I, for me, I think an actor needs to be prepared. I think an actor needs to want it. Like, who goes into this business? The business of being an actor. You literally are up for scrutiny and judgment. Day in and day out, multiple times a day, depending on how many auditions and self-tapes you have. I'm like, who's going to go into that just because they can? Oh, yeah, I think I can just be an actor, so I'm just going to try. And you just like, what? What? Like, and that's great. Like, it's one thing when it's an open call and I'm saying, hey, no experience necessary. Please come and try. But it's another thing to consider yourself an actor, to have an agent, to have gone through the whole, I got an agent, I am now an actor, and then to sort of walk into the room and sort of not give her and not try to be good. And I can appreciate there are days where this is as good as it's going to get. Like, I tried so hard with this self-tape. I'm so sick of this role. I'm just going to throw it into the great. You sent it to your agent. The agent approved it. It's now up. Fine. And I get there sometimes that happens. But you know what? Usually sometimes also what I like about that is if you did that, like say, for example, you were shooting, you were doing a night shoot and then you didn't have that much time. I'd rather you put that in the slate and be like, I apologize. You know, like it's like you do the slate and then you're like, you know, I apologize. I literally had 2 hours to turn this over. Right. Then at least I know that you had 2 hours to turn this over. You know, I used to, one of my pet peeves when people walked into the room where it was like, they walked in the room, they'd be like, yeah, sorry, I worked until 4 a.m. And so I didn't even have a chance to really do anything with these materials. And I'm like, why are you telling me that? Why are you telling me you're going to suck before we even do this?
Yeah.
How about you don't tell me, you do it. And we go, oh, and I go, huh. Okay, not great. Maybe nervous, because usually that's the other thing too. If I can, when I'm in the room with you or if I'm Zooming with you, I like to try and let's see what you've prepared. Let's see how the first round goes. And then we'll see what we can do if, you know, and if there's any promise, then we can do a second. We can do a second. We can do a redirect. Yeah. Like, don't, again, I just go, don't tell me you suck before we go, because maybe you are such a good actor that you fake it till you make it. And I wouldn't have known any different. And that's the thing about a self-tape too, right? You're like, again, sometimes when you know, I have this really great story where I worked with Deirdre on a project. It was Terry Gilliam, a very controversial director, but also, you know, a Monty Pythoner. Just, it was fascinating because this guy, there was this wonderful actor from Vancouver and he self-taped. And we had been chasing the self-tape. And again, we're going back a few years. We'd been chasing him for self-tape for almost a week. We're like, hey, so is he going to self-tape? And agent's like, yeah, he's going to tape. He's going to tape. Don't worry. It's just, you know. And the agent was like, well, he's working on a couple of projects, so we'll get you the self-tape when we can. So he finally gets the self-tape to us. And he's like, he's kind of low energy. And then at the end of the tape, he sort of gives us a slate. And he goes, look. He goes, I'm sorry. He goes, I'm doing morning shoots on one project. I'm doing night shoots on another project. He goes, I knew I needed to get this tape into you. But he goes, I'm just not. He goes, my head's not in the game. He goes, but this is what I did. Terry was like, the audition sucks. But he goes, I love that slate. Casted him on the slate.
No!
I've seen some tapes where the slate made me like the actor more. Like they gave me some great vibe in the slate, and I think it helps the slate at the end and not the beginning, especially if you're giving us a disclaimer about why you suck. Do that at the end. Any kind of
actor should not hear this, because know how scary it is to slate and say your name, and we're already like, okay, we've rehearsed this, I forget how to say my name, and now you're like, guys, this person booked on a slate, and I go, oh god.
But he booked on a slate just being him, and that's the thing. It's just a little bit of insight. That's why it's weird. You know, Deirdre always says slate in character, or slate so that, like, again, if you're playing a sociopath, don't like, what she's saying is like, don't smile and be like, smile all happy and whatever, right? Like, you want to slate sort of so that it's a neutral. You want to be neutral, but because you don't want to take away from the character and the acting. I always like a slate at the end because then I get to see performance first.
Yeah,
true.
Me too.
I want to see performance.
Sorry, that's what Rachel was saying too. Sorry, Rachel, I spoke over you, but I was very passionate about this slate. Yeah. Okay.
No, but the thing about a slate though is, guys, it's the one thing you can do and you can slay. You know your name, you know your height, you know the city you are in, you know if I'm asking you a question. Like, you know, there are times where I, like in our slates recently, we were doing, can you ride a horse? Are you allergic to horses? Are you comfortable disclosing your vaccination status? Because again, I'm technically not allowed to ask, but if you are comfortable volunteering it, we would be happy to hear it, that kind of thing, right? And so what was fascinating was there were so many people that, like, bungled those up. I'm like, those are questions that you know the answers to. Like, those are questions that should be no-brainers. I understand I'm asking you for a lot. Like, it's a list, right? Like, okay, now what? She asked me for this. She asked me for this. Now, what? Did I answer this? Did I not answer this? What? There's a part of me that
you can do it over.
But my other thing about it is, so don't slate it. maybe just slate your name and your height, and then you can type it into the text. I'm like, mm-hmm. I just need the answers. Yeah. Give me the answers. The only reason I say put it in the slate is because it doesn't belong anywhere else in the puzzle, you know? But I'm like, hey, like, again, how do you sell yourself? And I think that's the one thing I think actors, it's the tricky thing too, right? It's about performance. It's about brand. And it's about appearance, right? It's the whole package. And that's, I'll be honest with you, that's kind of why I'm not an actor, because I don't want to be open to that scrutiny and that judgment ever, even when I'm slating, you know? But I just say, like, you know, I always say to my classes when I'm teaching, guys, you know your name, you know your height, you know the city. That, there should never be a, I'm amazed when actors come in and they flub that. Like,
it's nerves, Millie.
I understand.
Oh my God. I'm just like my Robin Devereaux.
But you need to figure out, but that's the other thing. You've been doing this for so long. You know that you have to deal with your nerves.
And Millie sees me in like the worst, like how can Robin not audition? Okay, cool. Nerves are a huge problem, but I appreciate that you're aware that there are nerves, and like, I like your suggestions for like, if people don't have time to, and it's a, like, and they want to get something out, but they know it's not necessarily the best. Don't, if it's in person, don't necessarily say, hey, I didn't prep it. But if, you know, you filmed it, you had an hour to film it and you'd never looked at it, maybe just a little disclaimer. I swear I'm better than this.
At the end. Yeah. And I will say, look, when it comes to nerves, I think that's where actors need to figure out some like mindfulness and sort of, that's where I think it's really important. I think actors, in terms of doing like things like yoga, grounding themselves, mindful meditation, mm-hmm. I think stuff like that, where, you know, I love when an actor says they do yoga or when they meditate, because I think that's so important for your craft. It's important for your instrument. Mm-hmm. It's important for your head. Because again, I think what actors do is unlike any profession. You know, like, I don't know how actors do what they do. I mean, I have utmost respect for how an actor can just walk into a room and just be like, I'm here, you know, I'm here, judge me.
But you know, maybe if it's with Millie though, like if it's with you, Millie, and you kind of know you're going to go in and it's going to be collaborative, whatever happens, happens. I think, and this is, the more I talk to different people, the more it's like, let's just take the pressure off of this one audition, even if it's like the only audition you've gotten in a month or 2 months or a year. And let's just remember to have fun and be a human, which is so hard to remember. But those are my thoughts.
Absolutely. I mean, think about why you choose to be an actor. It's because you love it. You want to do it. You are prepared to starve for your artistry because you love it so much. And the fact that it brings you so much stress and pain and struggle when you just to walk into an audition room. And I'm not going to say, look, yes, do I think I try very hard to make my audition room feel comfortable and safe? But there are times where sometimes I'm not in a good mood. I mean, look, I say this to my students all the time. Sometimes you go, you're the first person of the day. Casting is not ready. They do not want to be there. They're there for another 8 hours. They're going to have to hear the same dialogue hundreds of times over. And they're hangry. And you got that time slot. But wouldn't it be amazing if you were prepared, you made some bold choices and you blew them away and you were like, oh my God, yeah, this is why I love, because I love this project. I love, you know, like, and look what that actor just gave me, something that I would never have guessed in a million years, like amazing. I didn't even think about the character that way. And you go, okay. And this is why I do what I do, you know. Because we get to play and collaborate but again, if you didn't come in prepared and you're just going to give me boring, like, okay, I'm just going to be safe and whatever. And then I'm going to be like, okay, thank you very much. That was a really, thanks for coming out today. You know, and that's going to be it.
We didn't talk about how Millie is a fantastic reader. You saw
she
that
is.
When you went to that actor thing.
I know, the actor conference, and I'm sitting there going, Millie, young lady, bravo.
I love it. Part of that is also, for me, I can feel whether or not the actor's connecting with me. Mm-hmm. In a way, so it's weird, because I can't see what's happening on the screen, which is half of casting. But God, when I'm in the room and I'm reading with an actor, And I'm trying, and I also like to think of it when I'm reading, I want to be able to give enough, but not too much, but just give enough so that you can,
you don't want
that you feel like,
or out
yeah, them. I feel like we're, well, no, I never want to take away from the performer, but I also want to be able to give enough to the performer.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
Well, I like to suggest that if you're a reader, you should make it that much harder to see if the actor's got the chops, right? Like,
no.
This is no, why. See,
but that's like, what people think casting directors do. They make it hard, but Millie's not like that.
Yeah. But also, I feel like actors, you're always going into a room assuming that reader is not good.
Really?
Oh.
You know, like, in a way, I feel like you have to kind of, you have to keep your expectations.
Oh, yeah, low. No, that's true. Okay, I thought you meant, yeah, okay, no, I agree.
Yeah,
you do have to set the bar low. Because that's the thing. Then if you are used to practicing with someone that is not good, and then you go in, you go, oh my God, is this a scene? Are we
connecting? Yeah, like, for me, because for me, it's all about, are we connecting? Are we connected? Are you listening and are you answering? Because that, to me, is where, again, for me to gauge, it's half the battle, half the performance battle. Mm-hmm. Are you listening? Or are you just waiting for the cue?
Mm-hmm. Where I'm trying to explain to people, if someone is not making eye contact with you when you go in the room, that's not a bad thing. It doesn't mean you suck. You know what I mean? Because everyone's juggling so many things that they'll watch you on the monitor. They won't look at you. They'll look at you on the monitor where they're seeing your face on camera.
Yeah.
So it's just weird because as humans, we go, oh, your face. Let me say hello. But as soon as you walk in, okay, this is what you look like on camera. Great. Amazing.
That's where I think, you know, pre-COVID, that's where I think commercial auditions were so helpful. Because that's where you would cut your actor chops in terms of navigating a crowded waiting room, navigating groups, like navigating more than one person being in the room, and also more than one, like the clients. Like, there were just, like, you walked into a room, there were 15 people, and you had no idea who the director was unless he was speaking. But you would, like, you just, like, where am I? Who am I looking at? Where is the voice coming from? And I think that, to me, I always say to younger actors, I'm like, you know, if you ever get a chance to audition for commercials, I think it's so important because that's where you can get a lot of the etiquette and the audition nuances, especially nerves, right? I mean, after a while, people would be like, God, I hate auditioning for commercials because it's just like, it's like a cattle call. And again, that was pre-COVID. I mean, we're talking about the world has changed now. You know, we're going back to tape and, you know, and I mean, how many actors, you know, that's also an interesting thing if you do a poll, right? How many actors love self-taping versus going into the room? You know, or versus, I mean, we're Zooming right now, sometimes. And you're like, what's fascinating about that is some people like not having that human touch, right? I mean, I teach at a community college, and I had a class who they literally for 2 years had been on Zoom. So when I finally get them in the room at the last half of my term, they don't socially know how to behave in that room. Like, they socially don't understand what's happening in this room, like in this classroom, much less this mock audition room that I'm trying to create for them. And that was fascinating to me because, and in fact, it took another one of my faculty members to sort of, because I was freaking out going, they're not responding to what I'm asking them to do. And he goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. He goes, you have to understand, this is a class that has rarely been in the room, like, together, much less, you know, they've been given an entire curriculum that's been on Zoom. So now you're asking them to come into the room and sort of, like, you know, like, bark like a dog, cluck like a chicken. And you're like, oh no, like, they're not, it's like they're not ready. They're not mentally ready for that. They're not, you know, emotionally ready for that. So, and that's been fascinating too. But I mean, I think it's interesting where I think the actors that do know how to sort of navigate an audition room and want that feedback, like want that context and direction, get it. and we miss, you know, you kind of miss that. And then there are some actors that are like, I'm never going back into the room unless it's a callback, unless it's with the director. And I get it too, because you're like, why, you know, like, why would you want to be directed by somebody that doesn't really know when you could, you know, like, take me to the finals, you know, take me to the finals and I'll ace this for you.
Finals. I'm skipping all the levels till the finals. I think it's crazy to know that, like, think a lot of people started becoming actors during the pandemic and have never been in a room.
Yeah. Well, I think of all the children. Like, I just think of child actors. You know, that's the one thing where you were like, I remember I would have to, like, brace myself for children sessions because you have to just give so much energy, right? And you have to, like, you have to be like, okay, we're going to go. We're going to see a bunch of six-year-olds now. It's going to be 26-year-olds. Go, ready. Just get your, like, emotionally ready. And all of a sudden now you're seeing them on Zoom and they're like, they know exactly what to do. They know which buttons to press. They know how to, you know, like, sometimes it's just a framing. Like, honestly, sometimes it's just about framing. And, you know, but also, you know, in the room, that's the other thing, right? In the room, you come in alone. Six-year-old comes in alone. Mommy and daddy stay outside the room. All of a sudden, you're in a Zoom session, and, like, you can see mommy. Mommy's probably mouthing the words with you, you know? Like, oh, mommy's already, and you're like, you know, like, and, you know, and then, you know what was funny was in the room, you stop camera, like, you know, you call the scene and then they look to the cat, they look to whoever's behind the desk for, like, did I do, you know, like, for, like, did I do well? And now that you call cut on the Zoom and they just look at mom going, I did it, you know? So it's fascinating. Like, there's a whole generation of actors that just really won't know what it's like to be in that room, you know?
So do you think, Millie, that, like, sorry, I'm taking over question.
Oh, I love it. Co-host, let's do it.
So do you think, Millie, that we're ever going to go back fully in person? I know it's like a thing.
Yeah, I think we will, but I do think I think it'll be the first rounds. The first rounds will be probably self-tapes, sometimes Zooms. And then I think callbacks will probably be in the room. And I'm seeing that a lot now with some of the sort of the, you know, the more prolific casting directors in town where they're actually coming back into the room for their callbacks. And that's kind of been neat. Again, but, you know, that's going to change too, because before you could pack your session. You could just pack it every 10 minutes. And even if you were running behind, but now you have to be conscious of what's happening in that waiting room. You know, if every single casting director, if we all come to Milestones and we all run behind, we now have a packed waiting room that technically we sort of don't want to overexpose people to, you know? So I think that's a tricky thing. And I think it's also mask mandates. Like, I think also, like, look, for productions, I feel like COVID, they had, you know, they spent a lot of money on COVID protocols. Where are you going to save your money? So now maybe we save our money on the first round of auditions. Maybe we don't go into the room. We don't rent casting facilities. We don't go into the room on our first rounds. I think that's a tricky thing, right? Where do you put, you know, all of a sudden it became much more expensive to shoot in a COVID world, mm-hmm. you know?
It is. I don't think people realize how expensive it is to rent a casting facility for the day.
Oh my gosh. It's
insane.
I mean, yeah, like, I mean,
hourly,
I would say both Casting Central and Milestones are sort of in and around, they're competitive. They're both, but in and around, I'd say it's I'd say it's averaging $100 an hour just for, like, a session. And that, and, like, and think about it. In 1 hour, if you're doing actors every 10 minutes, that's only 6 actors per hour. If you're going to give them 15 minutes, that's 4 actors an hour. So think about that. Like, that's, and 15 minutes is not a long time. When you think about after, like, the niceties and the, you know, you're putting all your stuff down, you're trying to, you know, and you, and I, you need to slate you. I need to
talk.
And you have questions. By the time we get into the scenes, I mean, I know that now ACTRA has this mandate where we can only give you either 8 pages, 2 scenes, or 8 pages. Like, now, you know, we're getting, casting is getting slapped for asking too much of an actor, which I totally appreciate. In 10 minutes, I'm asking you to do 16 pages. You're like, what? Like, you know, you know, within, you know, and then of course with less than 24 hours notice, which is rude of me, but, and I will always say
but
that
it's not your, it's not always casting.
No.
Fault,
and
right?
I would say for the most part, of course, no casting director wants to cast like tomorrow, like now, but I will say to you that, I, as a casting director, know that if I'm giving you your audition scenes so last minute, I know what the my expectation would be, and I'm not asking you then. Like, if I gave you less than 24 hours notice and you're willing to take that challenge, know that I'm not asking you to be off book. Know right. that I'm not asking you to come in and be genius. I mean, at this point, I know that we would try and nuance a good audition together because I did not give you the amount of time that I should have given you to prepare and to do well.
This is...
Oh yeah,
no, exactly. They're not like waking up in the morning going, how can I screw over an actor today?
I'm yeah. just saying it because I feel like it needs to be said. It's never like,
oh, absolutely.
Absent-mindedness. It's probably just like, okay, this is a turnaround that we have to keep the casting process going. Yeah. It's not because we forgot about you.
No, and no, I agree. It is worth emphasizing that no one wakes up and wonders, how can I make an actor fail? That's exhausting.
Well, and I know sometimes like I'll have a production where they're like, hey, can you bring in Jane from the other day tonight, like for our callbacks today? You're like, I can, but she's not going to be prepared because we didn't give her enough time. Like, is that cool? Like, you know, again, if we're trying to sell her to the network, how can we best sell her to the network? You know, and I understand because sometimes my director only has a small window. So right. it becomes this whole like, okay, so I'm just letting you know, she might not be as prepared as she could have been if we had told her she could come in 2 days ago. Yeah. However, are you prepared to work with her so that we can at least get what, you know, and then maybe what I would do is I would take her original auditions and we would package it so that it's not like, or, you know, we write in the notes. She was asked in the same day to come in for the callback, et cetera.
The relationship with your agent, I think we saw that on our last project, and there was one example that I'm thinking of specifically, like the relationship and being able to trust your agent is a big factor as well in terms of, are they doing what they need to do, like asking questions about specifics when someone wants you to come, like when you're this close to being booked and you're like, you want to make sure your agent is not fumbling stuff for you. So I guess like being there or being available to your agent is one thing, but also like having, like making it easy for them to talk to you or owning the relationship. I don't know if I'm articulating this properly without giving the example, but it's just like,
the actor-agent relationship is very important.
Oh my gosh.
And I think people are realizing that more and more. And it's, as you were saying, like it's a business, right? Mm-hmm. And is this a good business partner for you?
Exactly.
I'm shifting away from the life. Yes.
Well, I think it's interesting too, because I think a lot of actors are just so happy to get their agents.
Yeah.
They're just like, then they don't want to say, like, they're going to just, no, you know, they're going to let their agent but guide the relationship. And I get that. I mean, look, we're in a weird time in Toronto right now, or in Ontario, where a few agents have failed their clients.
Yeah.
And now, unfortunately, agents as a whole are now going to be regulated. I think they will become licensed. I think this is where I think this is where it's going to turn. I think in Vancouver, they're licensed, mm-hmm. much like in LA. So I think that's something that's going to be a thing.
Right.
And it's such a shame. It's really a shame that sort of, you know, a handful of bad apples basically just have painted the entire
profession.
All of them. But I will say, I think agents as a whole, I do think that there are some agents that are not, they don't know their voices, their own voices. And I don't think they ask. I think they're too afraid to ask casting or to ask production the questions right. that
that's
they
what
need
I was
to.
Getting at, like,
and I think that's a really tricky thing because, you know, the example that Rachel is giving is that basically this performer lost a job because agent would not speak up and would not say, you know, because my thing about agenting, and I think that, I mean, look, what agents do is what actors don't see is what actors do with the agents. Like, they don't see how agents submit. They don't see how agents have to go through 24 hours of breakdowns coming in, you know, on all the time zones. But what's fascinating too is that for me, one of the biggest things that an agent does is they juggle scheduling. Their job is to let, okay, Robin, you know, our job is we're going to get you out. We're going to get you working. Okay, great. Right. So Robin has one job. Robin's auditioned for a bunch of jobs and now they're all kind of coming in at the same time. So all of a sudden, like, okay, Robin gets one booking. Okay. But then there's another booking that's conflicting on that. But technically that agent, I said to the agent, so we could probably get Robin to do both. And, you know, Robin can have her cake and eat it too. Like, that's ultimately, that's the common goal for all of us. We, you know, and then what that agent wouldn't do is the agent wouldn't go back to the other production and wouldn't ask if she could just release for the one date that conflicted. And I was like, but why aren't you asking? Like, your job is to ask. Ask the other production.
That's the worst thing that could happen. You get a no.
Yeah, it's a no, exactly.
And she was like, oh, no, that job came in first. And I was like, no, that job came in with, again, the way the union works is, and this is kind of the norm, the industry norm, bookable days win. Whoever comes first with the bookable days wins. So if the bookable, right. But the other production hadn't given her bookable days, but I'm giving her bookable days. So her client ended up losing 3 bookable days for one day that she, and then it ended up that he didn't work that day. So he basically lost my job for that job. Now, granted, I asked another agent because I was like, okay, tell me what the logic here is because I'm pissed.
Yeah.
And she said, if it's a commercial, I went, okay, if it's a commercial, we're talking about thousands of dollars versus my few hundred pennies. So I get it. But I go, really? Why didn't she ask? Just ask.
Right.
And that's where I went. At the end of the day, that actor, you almost wish that actor knew.
Well, that's the thing. I hope someone's not watching this.
The casting director of the one project is saying, I will fight for you on my project if you fight for your side. Fight for that day. Clear him on that day. I will give you in turn 3 days. So in a way, it's one of those things where I don't know that an actor knows that.
Exactly.
And I think, Robin, that might be the next panel you do is sort of, we do more agent.
Millie, Rachel, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you to future viewers for watching this. And I hope you guys learned something and have a good one. Bye, everyone.